जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन 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 जमुना तीरा प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड श्री राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की इताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 31
धृष्वस्त्रा तेज तूतायोस् त्रिलोकान् प्रधान महात् धायामाना प्रजा सर्वा संवर्तकाम् अमंसत धृष्वस्त्रा तेज तूतायोस् त्रिलोकान् प्रधान महान् धायमाना प्रजा सर्वा संवर्तकम् अमंसत धृष्ट्वस्त्र तेज तूतयोस् त्रिलोकान् प्रदाहन् महान् धायमाना प्रजा सर्वा संवर्तकम् अमंसत प्रजा सर्वा
Matajis, Drishtva, thus seeing, Astra, weapon. तेज हीट टू बट तयो ऑफ बोथ त्रिन थ्री लोकान प्लैनेट्स प्रदाहात ब्लेजिंग महात सिवियरली दया मनः बर्निंग प्रजा पॉपुलेशन सर्व All over, Samvartakam, the name of the fire which devastates during the annihilation of the universe. Amamsata began to think. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation.
All the population of the three worlds was scorched by the combined heat of the weapons. Everyone was reminded of the Samvartaka fire, which takes place at the time of annihilation. Purport. The three worlds are the upper, lower, and intermediate planets of the universe. Although the Brahmastra was released on the earth, on this earth, the heat produced by the combination of both weapons covered all the universe, and all the population on all the different planets began to feel the heat excessively and compared it to that of the Samvartaka fire. No planet, therefore, is without living beings, as less intelligent materialist men think. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome on this very auspicious day of Gopashtami. It is one of the very special festivals and we will discuss about this a little later. But right now what we are seeing is quite a difficult situation in the Bhagavatam. A slight background, we all know the story of Ashwatthama, how he had very, very foolishly, you know, killed the five sons of the Pandavas, thinking them to be the Pandavas. So you can say it was very stupid. Stupid to say the least. And of course, then Arjun and Krishna, many things happen in between. But then Arjuna is following Ashwatthama. He gets very, very scared. So in the verse 20th of this same chapter, it is mentioned, since his life was in danger, because of that, Ashwatthama released, he took the water and he released the most powerful weapon that can ever exist. With half knowledge. You know, when you have half knowledge, you are called a quack. So he was a quack. That means, you know, many times, you know, we see many people want to be medical doctors when they are not doctors. They give all medical advice, do this, do that. But they are quacks because they don't have knowledge. They don't know how the anatomy, physiology of the body works because they have not done proper studies. That's why such people are called quacks. So any knowledge which is half is very dangerous. When you think that you know. So here, Ashwatthama, he knew he didn't know how to retrieve the weapon back. But he was in such danger. He was so insecure. He was so overcome by fear. Can you imagine if somebody like Arjun is chasing you to kill you? I mean, it is not different than death personified. You know that there is no hope for you. That's how powerful Arjuna is. So Ashwatthama knew that, you know, I've done the biggest blunder of my life. And I don't think Ashwatthama was, I mean, scared because Arjuna was chasing him. You know, if you are righteous, then even if the most powerful person chases you, you don't feel as if, well, I've not done anything wrong. For example, you know, if you have not broken the signal and an RTO van is behind you, you don't get scared. Then nothing is wrong. I didn't do anything. But you know in your heart that you have broken the signal. You knew you had done something wrong. And then you see the from your side mirror, you see the police following you. You say something is really wrong. I mean, you feel scared, right? Otherwise, the policeman goes sideways, you don't care, you drive. So the fear of Ashwatthama was not necessarily of Arjuna following him, but because of the most horrific act that he had done. He knew he had done a biggest blunder of his life. And he was going to get severe reactions to that. He was going to really be given the proper judgment for that. And if Arjuna is going to give the judgment, he knew that there was no way to run. So, in a very stupid way, in a very, very immature way, Ashwatthama just released the Brahmastra. And, you know, from verse number 20th to this verse, you know, Arjuna saw what's happened. He said, Krishna, what happened? So this is the glory of a devotee of the Lord, who is genuinely a devotee of the Lord, that he always wants to consult the Lord and his devotees to understand what's happening. He does not really want to really figure out on his own. So Arjuna knew what had happened. He was quite intelligent, but he didn't want to know what he's seeing, but he wanted to know what he should do after what he's seeing. You understand? So, you know, when you are not guided by proper viveka buddhi, when you're not guided by proper discriminatory intelligence, then you just do things as you feel like, at the spur of the moment. And that is why viveka buddhi, very interesting word, viveka buddhi, is not just buddhi. The shastras don't talk about only buddhi, not about only intelligence. But they talk about viveka buddhi. Vivek means discriminatory intelligence. Buddhi is with many people. I mean, there are many stalwarts who are very intelligent, very brilliant scholars in the world. But they are not necessarily what the shastras are describing as the people whom we should be following, or the people who will get Krishna. But people who have viveka buddhi, who can discriminate at the right time the right thing. What is vivek? Vivek means what? Vivek means to discriminate, and not just discriminate, at the right time. If you analyze, many times when we do a mistake, you know, most of the time, it is not that we do not know what is right and what is wrong. We know what is right and what is wrong, usually. But we end up doing we end up realizing it at the wrong time. You understand? It is much later. Oh, I should not have done this. Yes. So that means we have intelligence that, yes, this is wrong, but we realize it late. So viveka buddhi means doing the right thing at the right time. If you do the right thing at the wrong time, my dear friend, it is wrong. Please let us keep that in mind. The right thing done at the wrong time is wrong. Because then, at least it is not the worst. At least you realize it is wrong. At least you realize it's the right thing. But it is wrong and you will be suffering some reaction to it. It is better than not realizing it is wrong. That's you know, when you are in complete ignorance. Then you don't even know you have done something wrong. Like Ravana, you know, he didn't realize, you know, until he was at the last fragment of life that he did a blunder. Everybody was telling, but he didn't realize it wrong. That's complete ignorance. But a devotee you know, he realizes that I done a mistake. But many times when you do a mistake, for example, you know, not taking care of your health at the right time and then suffering, abusing your body, and then realizing, oh, I did a blunder, but you will suffer. Right? So doing the right thing at the right time. Chanting in the morning is the right thing. Chanting can never be a wrong thing. Chanting is always perfect. But there's a right time to it, right? Chanting in the morning is the best chant. And then you can repent, oh my God, I was sleeping and let me chant now. At least it's good that you're chanting now. But so what is important is the timing. And the timing of the act that we do in Krishna consciousness comes with proper viveka buddhi. Sharpness. When you do not have viveka buddhi, then you will not be sharp in discriminating what is right and what is wrong. And the viveka buddhi comes by sadhana. When you do proper sadhana, Krishna gives you the viveka buddhi to decide the right and wrong at the right time. But that means sadhana is like sharpening your whether it is a scissor or whatever. So if you have a blunt scissor, what happens? You know, you cut, but then it doesn't get cut and takes time, and then it gets cut, and it gets cut in a wrong way sometimes, right? But you have a very sharp scissor, you just one cut and it cuts at the right, that sharpness. So that sharpness of intelligence comes by sadhana. So Ashwatthama, you know, he was governed by madness. Very, very horrible association that he was involved in. And all the reasons because of which he did not have the right viveka buddhi. That's why he really killed the Pandavas' children. And now, can you imagine what a horrible thing is doing? I mean, you know, just imagine that just to protect him, how egoistic a person can be. Just to protect him, he's releasing a weapon which can potentially jeopardize the whole existence of the creation. I mean, how stupid and how immature. The words that I like, this verse in the 20th verse of this chapter. He said, since his life was in danger, just because my life is in danger, I will do anything. I want to protect my life because my existence is most important to me. And at what cost? You release the whole Brahmastra. And as we read in this verse, there was a very, very horrible situation. So when Arjuna saw what happened, he said, Krishna said, well, you know what? The only way you can counteract this Brahmastra is by shooting another Brahmastra. So Arjuna did it not out of just at the spur of the moment. He did it under proper guidance. So you see, right, is a wonderful, both of them shot Brahmastras. But one did in absolutely, horrible consciousness, with just keeping me in the center, that I should protect me, so you do it. And Arjun is taking guidance, and Krishna says, well, you know what, there's nothing you can do. You have to contract this, otherwise it is going to be really affecting the whole creation. So you shoot another Brahmastra to contract it. And Arjuna said, done, I'll do it. And then Arjuna shot the Brahmastra. So when we read this particular verse, my dear friends, when we read this particular act of Ashwatthama, you know, what do we feel? You know, that here is a person who, just to protect his existence, he is doing such a heinous crime to jeopardize the very existence of the world. And not of the world. Trillokan. T-R-I-L. It is not Trilokan. If it was Trilokan, only three people. See the Sanskrit. You know, it's a three. Many times when people, it's a Trilokan. So I mean, this weapon affected only three people. It was not Trilokan. When you speak in Sanskrit, you have to speak as Trilokan. Trilokan means all the three planetary systems, upper, intermediate and lower, they all were affected. And the root cause of this problem was Ashwatthama's immaturity. Right? So when you see this, such a personality, when you read about Ashwatthama, what do you feel? He said, oh, you know what, it is so, I mean, I'm sure if I ask you, what do you feel about Ashwatthama? What do you feel about his personality? Anybody would like to share? What do you feel about his personality, about Ashwatthama? Very selfish. Anybody else? Yes? Revengeful, selfish, revengeful. Anybody? Sorry, insecure. Intelligent but untrained. Sorry? Egoistic, yeah. So you know, for us, it was very, very clear and evident that he's selfish, he's untrained, no doubt he's intelligent, is selfish. How much time it took for all of us to point that? Nothing, right? It was so obvious. That's why I asked all of you. We could answer it. The moment I asked, you had the answer ready, because you all of our brains analyzed it. But the thing is, we are not here just to analyze Ashwatthama. That's not what Bhagavatam is about. Okay, let's analyze Ashwatthama's personality. Yes, that is true. But how can I learn from Ashwatthama is the purpose. My dear friends, don't we, in order to protect our skin, as we call it, do all sorts of heinous things to jeopardize, in a small way though, because we are small people, we don't have the power like Ashwatthama, so we don't cause major problems, but don't we also somehow or the other try to do things to save our skin, to protect us, to, in different scenarios, don't we do the same thing? Is it not that when two egos clash, when we are egoistic, and we want to stick on to our egos, my dear friends, how different is that ego than the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama? Is the same thing. It is causing so much disturbance. And when two egos clash, the way you are seeing here, it may not be causing a problem in the whole three Lokan. But wherever you are, it does cause a serious problem, whether in a family unit or in a community unit. Or if you are more powerful on a national unit, and we see two egos of two politicians clashing, what happens? On an international unit. And here we are talking about more very powerful people, so we are talking about interplanetary units. But the point is, it was very easy for us to point at Ashwatthama, not realizing that we are all small Ashwatthamas in our own ways. In order to protect ourselves and our image and our opinion or whatever different scenarios that we are put in, we also shoot our own Brahmastras without thinking, at the spur of the moment. There are major fights in a family unit between husband or wife or between brothers or between family members. And what people speak, how horribly they speak on for each other. I've never been, and I don't want to ever be, but I'm told that the most horrible courts are not the criminal courts, are not the family courts, they're divorce courts. That's where the maximum garbage is thrown over each other. It is not the narcotic courts or something. They're bad, they're crazy, but the most dead devil criminals are there. That's not the bad court, but the worst courts are the family courts, because when you know somebody and you have strong egos, I mean, for example, you know, two criminals, they don't know each other, they don't care, they don't fight, but husband and wife, they know each other and they have strong egos to fight for, to protect their own egos, they can speak the worst and worst of things. So as I was thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, how different is the fights in the family to protect our own egos or protect our own image different than what Ashwatthama did? Not much difference if you analyze it deeply. So what I personally, what I want to learn from this verse and what we want to discuss today is not necessarily just Ashwatthama. Yes, he is a personality whom we want to learn from his mistakes. But as we say, when you point at Ashwatthama, you have three fingers pointing at you. This is very important. Always remember the three fingers that are pointing towards you. So how many times, we have effort that we put ourselves into a problem. So today, for the next few minutes, we will analyze that our nature has to be to ignore the problems, because we love to procrastinate. We love to deal with things which are not so difficult to deal. There's a famous understanding that if you have a thorn, how do you remove the thorn? With another thorn. Yes? If you have a thorn, how do you do it? You actually use another thorn, or you use a particular needle, which is like a thorn, right? To remove it. So when a thorn is there, you remove the thorn with another thorn. So there is one thorn which has caused inside, which is causing a problem, and there's another thorn which has actually been the cause of removing that thorn. So what do you do? Do you keep the thorn which helped you remove the thorn with you, or you throw both the thorns? You are ideally supposed to throw both the thorns. So what Krishna is telling here, my dear friend, is that, you know, Arjuna, the only way you can counteract this Brahmastra is when you shoot the same Brahmastra. So remove a thorn, you have to shoot another thorn. I mean, not shoot another thorn, but you can use another thorn to remove the thorn. This is what is very important for us to understand. We usually speak only the first part of the phrase. To remove the thorn, you use another thorn. But the second part is equally important. The second part is, don't retain the second thorn. So what is the second thorn? If we analyze it, most of the time, when we have certain thorns in our personalities. Thorn. What is the speciality of a thorn, my dear friend? What is the speciality of a thorn? The speciality of a thorn is that it will make sure its presence is felt. Yeah? If there's a thorn, it's a very small thing. You can't see it. But if it is on your feet, every step it will hurt you. I'm sure all of us have experienced thorns in our feet. It makes the presence, it makes his presence felt. So many a times, when we, through intelligence, we remove the thorn with another thorn. So both the thorns are there, but what is the understanding that we throw both the thorns? And Krishna consciousness, we use our intelligence to really figure out what are the different thorns that we have. What are the different problems that we have? Where am I supposed to improve myself? You do deep introspection, right? The act of mananam is very, very important. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. But if that is not coupled by mananam, mananam means to introspect. You just do shravanam, which is very important. But after shravan, if you don't do mananam, then we will just be like fantastic parrots, because we have heard it. And what does a parrot do? He hears it and repeats it. So we can be a fantastic in repeating. Maybe a very, very flamboyant style of repeating. But if you don't do mananam, then it is not really affecting our heart. It is just coming here and coming out from here, coming out from here. But if you do mananam, it is coming in here from our ears and going in our heart. And then when we speak, it is coming from the heart, from our mouth. That's very important. So when we are doing mananam, then we figure out, yes, this is my problem. This is where I need to improve. Because the fact is, nobody is perfect. And if you think we are perfect, then you are in a, you are all the more imperfect. So we have to do mananam and figure out where the thorn is, where it is paining us through intelligence. But as I was hearing a class by one of the senior leaders of our movement, excuse me. He was mentioning that many times we get too drawn by just the intelligence and we end up becoming very agnani type devotees. But we don't realize that ultimately the intelligence is also not important. What is important is not intelligence, but the bhakti is very, very important. Are you getting it? So that's what we understand by saying that remove the thorn with the thorn and then you throw both the thorns away. That you use the intelligence, yes, you have to use intelligence, but you cannot understand Krishna by your intelligence. If you try to figure out Krishna by your intelligence, we'll discuss this little later, but since the topic has come, I mean, can you imagine what is today's Gopastami? Gopastami is a time where Krishna was just was Pauganda 6 years old and he was given the charge of cows. Yes, and it is very sweet, right? It's the sweetest festival in Nandagram. We'll discuss that festival. But just analyze it from the intelligence perspective. You have just heard Krishna, God is Anadir Adira Govinda. He's a God who has no beginning and no end. He's unborn, undying. If somebody is unborn and undying, through your intelligence, you understood who is God. He's unborn and he's undying. And then you hear a story where Krishna becomes 6 years old. And this is sort of like a appraisal of Krishna. You know, we have in corporate culture appraisals. That you know, after you have proved yourself, you are appraised. Okay, fine. You jump from category 5 to category 4. You from a VP, you become a senior VP, whatever. So in one sense, what's happening today, my dear friend, is Krishna is getting appraised. Gopas said that, you know, now Krishna is 6 years old, he has a strong body, he is mature enough. Now he can take care of cows. Now from the intelligence point of view, he said, what? Krishna is 6 years old, but Krishna doesn't die, this is not born. So you try to understand this from your logical, intelligent perspective, you will never understand this. What is happening? Either Brijbas is crazy, and they're telling, now Krishna is qualified to take care of the cows. What are you talking? That means, you know, Krishna is taking care of everything. Not even a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. On one side, through the intelligence, we have understood that not even a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. Not even a blade of grass. That is one side. And on the other side, the Gopas are saying, the senior Gopas of Vrindavan, they are saying, now you know what, Krishna was not qualified until now. Until 5 years, he was not qualified. We just give him the calves because he's young. But now, he is qualified to take care of the cows. So now Krishna goes into the fields. I mean, goes into the forest. So if you just use intelligence, Prabhus, if you use intelligence, you will never understand. So by intelligence, you can figure out. But that also is an impediment, Kunti Maharani is saying. High parentage, intelligence, wealth, position. Yes, position is important to serve Krishna. But that's also a thorn. You use service to Krishna. Yes, you need a position. It will be good if you have a position. I mean, people will listen to you. If you have wealth, maybe people look at you and go, wow, he's a devotee and he's wealthy. You use everything. But if you become too attached to that thorn of wealth, to the thorn of position, the thorn of knowledge, intelligence, you will never get bhakti. There's a Kunti Maharani saying, ultimately you will give up all these things. That's why you have to throw both the thorns. So that's why Krishna is telling Arjuna, you must use the Brahmastra to counteract the Brahmastra. So nothing wrong in using your talent, your position, your resources in Krishna's service. Nothing wrong in that. So Arjuna had the talent. He said, you know, use the Brahmastra to counteract it. But then retract both the things back. Both are useless. Brahmastra. Brahmastra, both are useless Brahmas. Because ultimately, what is important is doing the will of the Lord. And that was Arjuna was doing. If you know, Krishna said, you shoot a Brahmastra, you use it for Krishna's service. But ultimately, Brahmastra is not the be-all and end-all of everything for Arjuna, even though it is the most powerful weapon. That is what Bhagavatam is teaching us here. And that is why after Ashwatthama shoots the Brahmastra, for the next seven verses, there's a beautiful conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, where Arjuna is showing the supremacy of Krishna. If you read 22nd, 23rd, 24th verses. Because Arjuna is understanding how glorious is Krishna, and under his guidance he's doing shooting the Brahmastra. So what we learn from Bhagavatam is something much, much more deeper than just the external understanding of what Ashwatthama is doing. What we need to learn is that ultimately, as we said, the Bhagavatam, each verse of the Bhagavatam, every syllable is teaching us pure devotional service. Nothing else is there in the Bhagavatam. And what is pure devotional service? Pure devotional service is something which is beyond your logical understanding, beyond your material understanding. It is beyond, because it is adokshaja. You cannot understand Krishna by your senses. That is very important. So when we are talking about removing the thorn with another thorn and throwing both the thorns, that is how we apply, and that's what exactly Arjuna is doing. And then we also want to talk about thorns today. What time we end, by the way? I don't know. What time we end the class? 15. But okay, 5 minutes. But we went long for the. So maybe I'll take 10 minutes more with your permission. I'll quote you. So there's another aspect of the thorn. Now, you know, because we're talking about Krishna going to the forest, in the forest, thorns are always there. So today we'll have some discussion on the thorn. We'll learn from the thorns. And there's a beautiful story also of Krishna not wearing chappals, not wearing his shoes. Because, you know, that story, of course, we will try to narrate. But we talk about thorns. That just imagine that, you know, we have through our intelligence, we have identified some thorns in our personality. And the thorns are touching our nerves. You know, why is the thorn painful? Because it touches some very sensitive nerve sometimes. And that's why when it is just left to itself, it is not a problem. But moment it gets little pressed, it's very painful, because it touches a very sensitive portion of our body. That's why the thorns are very, very... So many times, you know, we are happy to not remove the thorn. To let the thorn remain. Because removing the thorn is quite painful. It's not easy. You have to maneuver going within, and because sometimes the thorn is deep, it takes much more time. I said, I will simply protect the thorn and not allow anything to happen, because the problem is the thorn being there is not a problem, but the moment it gets touched or something, that's the problem. So I'll make sure I protect, nothing happens. So then you have the thorn. Now please understand, when talking about the thorn, it's not the physical thorn we're talking about. We're talking about certain deep desires, private ambitions that we have, which we harbor in our hearts. And rather than removing them out, because they can be potentially impediments in Krishna consciousness, we prefer many a times to keep it deep inside. And they say, I'll protect it. I will not allow it to affect my Krishna consciousness. Many times we do that. Analyze yourself. Do mananam. You may be finding yourself doing that. If not, you are lucky. But many times we do that. But then what happens if you have the thorn? We're talking about the physical thorn. Every time you are sleeping, you have to be very conscious where you turn, because you turn somewhere, it can prick you. Right? Unconscious. If you meet somebody, like for example, if there is a cut, I remember I had a cut here, and it was because I was wearing a shirt. Nobody could see there was a cut. So people would come and embrace me. I said, no, wait, don't embrace me, because it hurts me. You don't know it, it hurts. So you are very constantly conscious of how you can protect this thorn, I mean, this hurt or this thorn. Yes, you agree with what we are discussing? That we are constantly aware, not of people whom we are meeting, or we are not, or rather we don't really get into a complete peaceful sleep, but we are aware in a sleep that I should not turn in a way which will hurt my thorn. Or I should not allow people to touch me in a way that will be hurting me. So what are we doing, by the way? We are constantly conscious about the thorn. And many a times, we live with the thorn for years and decades, just protecting that thorn. And what has happened, Prabhus, that insignificant thorn has become the very cause of controlling your very existence. Your ambitions, your desires are like thorns. And you are living all the thing that you are doing, you are somewhere there, and it is not seen by people. Please understand, this is a very private thing. A thorn is not something seen. It's not like a big cut where everybody sees. It's a thorn. That's why we're using the example of a thorn and not something very major. These thorns are there in our exist in our personalities, and we are harboring these thorns, and by that we are very protective of ourselves, and we can't associate with people in a free flow way because they might hurt my thorn. We can't take rest in the association of people because it might hurt my thorn. So what is happening? Who is governing your life? Is service to Guru governing your life? No. Externally you think it may be, but deeply if you analyze, it is not the higher principle of service to Krishna that is governing your life, but it is how I can protect the thorns which I have in my personality. Why I'm not removing? And because it is too painful to remove it, I don't want to go through the pain of removing it. Because removing a thorn, it takes time and energy and pain. Yes. You have to give time. You have to sit. You give up everything, right? Many times I remember, many times I have a thorn. You know, there's ecstatic kirtan going on. I remember in the yatras especially. Ecstatic kirtans. I remember one time I was supposed to play that wampur, the kartals. You know, and then I was jumping and then poop, one thorn went inside. And I was really missing playing. It was ecstatic kirtan going on. But I had to give up everything. I love playing kartals in the kirtan. It was one very, very... But I had to give up everything, sit and call somebody and say, please, remove my thorn. I couldn't do it myself. And I had to say nothing else. And then while I was removing, that person was removing all the skin around. It was painful. Because he had to find where the thorn is. He actually dug in my skin slightly. And then he found, oh, there's a thorn. And then with the tweezer, it came out. And then it was such a feeling. But still that particular mark of that process of removing the thorn remained for a few days. At least for 1 or 2 days, it's there. It was there. Right? So the process of removing the thorn is not easy. It takes time. It takes attention. But we are not wanting to give it time and attention. Nay, I will protect it, I will cover it. My dear friend, you are completely jeopardizing your life with that. The thorn is governing your life. Right? So that is why the purpose of our life, no matter how difficult those thorns are, is to remove the thorns. So that I just made some notes. I said, so that we want to talk to people you find interesting and not because you are lonely. You want to talk to people. Because you don't want to talk to people because you are lonely, but because you love to talk to people. Because that thorn of loneliness is pricking you, and then that is what is wanting you to talk to people, but that's not the right understanding. Similarly, you want to have a relationship because you genuinely like people and not because you want them to like you. You getting it? The thorn is that we are constantly wanting people to like us. And that's why we were associated with people. Why? Because if I associate with people, they will like me, they will like me, they will like me. That's the thorn, my dear friend. Your whole life is governed by the thorn of the desire of making people like you. That is not Krishna consciousness. You want to associate with people. Why? Because you genuinely love people. You love associating with devotees. And that is why you should associate with devotees. And not because you associate with the people start liking you. It's a thorn. Remove it. Otherwise your whole life will be centered around just that. You want to love because you truly love and not because you need to avoid your inner problems. You love people because you genuinely want to love people. Not that you want to cover up that problems that you have and externally you do something good. I feel nice because I want to ignore the internal problems. And that's what people do. They try to cover up their problems and actually they have this plastic smile and they become good to people. Why? Because internally they are lonely. And I'm not saying to people, I'm talking about devotees as well. Because they are not trying to identify the problem areas and they're not taking help of the Krishna conscious principles. This could happen. I'm not saying it is happening, but it could happen. And that is what we learn from this beautiful passage of Ashwatthama. He had a thorn constantly, he had a thorn of envy. Right from his childhood, he had a thorn of envy. He didn't remove the thorn. Right? He was just harboring the thorn constantly. And see what it ended up doing to him. He had a miserable, we can see he died because he's one of the Chiranjeevis. But Arjun had to remove his jewel on from his forehead, cut his hair, and he was bereft of all powers. And of course, as per the Vrindavan understanding, he stays in Pyasa Gaon. And near Barsana, he took shelter of that place. Even now, you people say, and he's trying to do tapasya in the holy land of Braj to get rid of the heinous crime that he did. Why? Because he kept on harboring that thorn of envy. So first is, let's identify our thorns. And the second is, let's have the courage. Let's have the desire to, or the strength to take time out to remove these thorns one by one. So that Krishna is governing our life and not the thorns. Because the fact is, many times if you analyze it, you will realize that it is not Krishna conscious activity which is governing your life. It is simply you're protecting your thorns and that's what is governing your life. And Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. You don't need to feel yourself to be great because there is, because no matter how much ever you feel yourself to be great, you will never be as great as the Lord Himself. And that is why we celebrate these festivals like Gopastami. What is this festival like Gopastami? What is this, all the festivals that we celebrate in Kartik, for that matter, we celebrate in the whole year? If you analyze it, I was just trying to think, what is Gopastami? Today, two major things happened. Krishna is acting, not acting actually, but we can still say acting, but Krishna is God who is acting like an ordinary human being. And then as we discussed a little earlier, the Gopas feel that now you are qualified, you are 6 years, so you enter into Pauganda from Kumar Avastha, you enter into Pauganda. So now you are qualified, so now you will take care of the cows. And now that you are taking off the cows, he has to go deep in the forest. With calves, you don't have to go deep. You have to just be around. Krishna was not going deep. But for cows, you have to go deep inside. You do take, and how many cows? Nine lakh cows. And plus, not his own cows. There were other coward boys also came. There was a whole ocean of cows. They went drive deep in the forest. And then this famous story, Yashoda Mai on this day said, please wear shoes, you are going deep in the forest. Earlier you were not going deep, there's no problem of thorns. But now you go deep. He says, no, if you want to give me shoes, you have to make shoes for all my cows. And of course, finally Krishna went without shoes. And that's why this verse, Yeah, this verse, which is the 10th chapter, 10th canto, 15th chapter, verse number 1, is explained. When Rama and Krishna attained the age of Pauganda, while living in Vrindavan, the coward men allowed them. Please see the words. The coward men allowed them. This is the glory of bhakti. What is it? What are you trying to say? I mean, if you analyze from your intelligence, so what are you talking, man? You are allowing something for God? Have you gone nuts? What are you talking? But here is the verse Sukadeva Goswami is saying. The coward men allowed them to take care of the task of tending cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the mark of their lotus feet. They didn't wear shoes. They imprinted the marks with their lotus feet and they went deep in the forest without any shoes. They went deep inside. Why did Krishna not wear shoes? Number one, as I said, these festivals are, what are these festivals actually? The festivals are nothing but a glorification of the love that the Lord has for his devotees. That is the greatest festival of our life, to glorify the love that Krishna has for his devotees. That's the festival, and that festival can be celebrated every minute, every second, every hour, every day. And on the same day today also, we have the beautiful story. I'm sure you will give me 5 more minutes to speak. Yes? I'll quote you. So, you know, Krishna was in deep separation, because what happens, Krishna goes in the deep forest, and then, you know, after they have their meal, after they do their prayer, they play all sorts of games in deep forest, and the gopas, after a nice meal, after playing, they're tired, they go to sleep. But does Krishna go to sleep? No, he doesn't go to sleep. He escapes, and that's the time he meets Srimati Radharani. Now, please, remove the glasses of lust from your eyes and wear the glasses of love. Because if you hear all these things with the glass of lust, you will see everything red. Right? There's no lust. If you don't understand it through your heart, understand through your mind. There is no lust. Krishna is meeting Srimati Radharani because Srimati Radharani is the most wonderful devotee of the Lord. He wants to meet. But at this day, she was not allowed to come to meet Krishna. Because Jatila and Kutila, they stay in the in Yavat, which is a village which is just few minutes away from Nandagram, from Terkadamba. So Krishna was at that time at Terkadamba, and he wanted to meet Srimati Radharani, and she couldn't come. And he was in distress. Now again, if you use intelligence, it's how can God be in distress? He is the one who de-stresses all of us. How can he be in distress? Just by seeing him, the today's darshan, all of our pujari department has done such fantastic darshan. You get completely distressed when you come here. I mean, nothing, all the stresses of the world are gone when you see this darshan. But Krishna was saying that, I'm not meeting Srimati Radharani. This is the festival, how Krishna loves his devotees. How much he loves Srimati Radharani that he feels deep separation from her. And Subal says, I must do something. I cannot see my friend crying. So he goes to Javat. He goes to the house of Jatila and Kutila. And then he says, you know, Jatila said, why are you here? Because the personality of Jatila is that she's a very, very strict, very cruel type of lady. Huge, dark. Why are you here? I said, you know, my calf has just come wandering and they've entered your house. I said, go take the calf and run away. We don't want you to be staying more than a minute here. So she said, okay. He ran inside, figured out where Radharani is, ran into Radharani's chambers. He said, Srimati Radharani, Krishna is dying to meet you, please. That is the glory of the devotees. That is the service of devotees. To some or the other, make facilities for Radha and Krishna to meet. Subal went there, and as we know, the features of Subal and Radharani are very similar, golden complexion. And they discussed. It all happens in a few minutes. And said, please go, wear my dress. And Radharani gave her dress. And Subal sat down as Radharani. And Radharani dressed as Subal, Sakha. And she carried a calf on her chest to show that she was Subal. And she went out. And then Subal was sitting there. waiting. And she went out and then she goes, and Krishna, I mean, he's in such, and Krishna is not acting. Krishna actually in great difficulty, and he's just in separation. Oh, you know, so when you're wanting something and something comes in front of you, you feel nice, you feel happy. But that something is in front of you, and you don't realize that something is in front of you, and you come to know after some time, it is more exciting, isn't it? It makes, you know, I'm sure everybody's experienced this. You know, sometimes, you know, you, in birthday gifts, you know, you don't give a birthday gift just raw, you pack it up, right? Why do you pack it? Because, you know, somebody is giving a gift to you, a serious excitement. And sometimes, what many times I do, I pack it with multiple boxes. So you open one box, two boxes, three boxes. The excitement is growing. Huh? So that is what the fun is. The fun is not just receiving the gift. The fun is how you receive the gift is also important, right? So Srimati Radharani went and she still kept her tone, her voice as Subal. Say, oh Krishna, I couldn't find Radharani. She couldn't come. And Krishna said, oh my God, what will I do? And Radharani was seeing how much, seeing with your own eyes, how much the person loves you. And the person will behave naturally because he thinks you are not in front, right? Are you getting it? So Krishna was not behaving. And he was saying, Subal, I cannot live more than few minutes now if you don't get Radharani. And Radharani is seeing this and she feels so nice. Can you imagine how she must be feeling that? She's seeing this Krishna thing. She had heard it all this time, but now she's seeing it. Hearing is one thing, but to see it is a different flavor, isn't it, my dear friends? To hear that Guru loves you is one thing, but to experience the love of Guru when he does something for you is a totally different thing. You feel so nice. A pat on the back, or a words, or a letter coming to you, or a word of glory, you feel nice. That's reciprocation from the Lord. So Radharani felt very happy. And then Radharani just, you know, Krishna is closed eyes. Krishna, Radharani opened Krishna's eyes. They said, Krishna, I am yours. And she hugged Krishna. And Krishna was in ecstasy. Wow, you have come. And he was in bliss. So what is again Gopastami? Radha and Krishna enjoy. But as far as we are concerned, as sadhakas, what do you understand this? This is nothing but a festival glorifying the love. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. This is again a festival glorifying how much Krishna loves his devotees. And in our holy temple of Vrindavan, today Srimati Radharani, I'm sure it is happening every year. Srimati Radharani is dressed in Subal Vesh with her lotus feet being seen. She's wearing a dhoti and a kurta, and she's having a calf on her chest, and she's dressed like that just to understand the glory. And what is the story all about? The story is all about, whether it's talked a story about Krishna not wearing shoes, a story about Radharani meeting Krishna on this day, it's all about the love that Krishna has for his devotees. What we are celebrating, my dear friends, is the celebration of the glories of bhakti, the glorious path of bhakti. And that is what we are celebrating in any festival that we are. That there could be different aspects of that particular principle of celebrating bhakti, different aspects, but ultimately it's all about celebrating bhakti. So that is all, you know, all desperately remove the thorns, or rather have the desire to remove these thorns, because only when we have no thorns like this, we'll be able to appreciate the beautiful pastimes as we describe of Vrindavan and the various pastimes of Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gopastami Mahotsav ki. And today, of course, also is the Tithi of Srinivas Acharya. One of the most, I wanted to speak, but it is already time. One line is enough. He is by far one of the most prolific preachers after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the next generation. He's the most prolific preacher. The amount of preaching that Srimad Acharya has done is unbelievable. And if you want to really understand how it is a great preacher, please read about his, it's a homework for all of you. Read about his personality today. And Sikh is also, it's a glorification of bhakti preaching. Today also the tithi of Gadadhar Das. And he was another amazing preacher, a fearless preacher. He goes to a Qazi, he said, chant Hare Krishna. I said, he was so forceful. He was so convinced. So fearless. They say, hey, you go. You go up, I'll chant Hare Krishna for 2 days. Hey man, you already chanted. That was a fearless personality of Gadadhar Das. So very special day today. Please let us have this festival in our hearts all the time, celebrating these beautiful festivals and thanking Srila Prabhupada and feeling ourselves very fortunate that we are in this most glorious path of bhakti. And we understand the glorious verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesh Tanaya. We worship Krishna of Vrindavan. Tad Dhamma Vrindavana. We worship the holy land of Vrindavan. Ramya Kachitupasana Vrajavadu. We worship the glorious devotees, the Vrajavadus of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Avalam. We have the access to Srimad Bhagavatam. And we ultimately have access to Prema Pumartha Mahan. To the pure process of achieving pure love of God in our heart. The 5 things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshtanaya Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachitupasana Vrajavadu. Varge Nava Kalpita, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Avalam Prema Pumartho Mahan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This is the Mata of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Matamidam Tatra Dharana Paraha. So we let us be fortunate, let us celebrate, let us jump in ecstasy that we have this access to these 5 beautiful things. And that is the festival that we all are celebrating. And let us hopefully one day we will find ourselves running and appreciating the holy festivals of Vrindavan. In the holy land of Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.